From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at CheeseheadTV.com. We are joined by our live blog guru, Jamie Snowden, as well as our marketing director, Mr. Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Mr. Banky, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Joining us later tonight, we're going to be talking big matchup with the Eagles with Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Setting NFL records.
Clay Matthews.
Playing and terrorizing from the inside.
Jordy. Touchdown Nelson.
You cannot stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
And we got the bad. We got Jay Cutler.
Same old Jay.
And we got the ugly. We got
the Bears.
Yeah, where are our stogies?
Dude, we need some stogies because that was a victory, ladies and gentlemen. That is some Green Bay Packers domination at home, man, at Lambeau Field. It doesn't get any better than that.
It really doesn't, no matter what Vic Ketchman says.
Oh, don't start. Don't start. Hush now.
I have nothing bad to say.
Hush now. We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that later. Don't
give it away.
Don't give the dessert right up
don't
front.
Don't give it away, Nagler.
That's after you eat your peas and carrots, Banky. Then you get to the dessert. Right now, we got to talk some hardcore football. We got to talk about Aaron Rodgers tying an NFL record.
We got to, well, hold on. First, we got to give away a hat.
We're giving away a hat. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Why don't you tell people what they have to do?
All right.
To earn
so
this
why don't
hat.
You show them the hat?
Right here, people.
That's what happens.
That's it. This is the hat.
So
see me? You feel me? Check this hat out.
Well, so
do it.
You can win this hat. Here's what you need to do. You know, if you've watched this show before
and you're frustrated that you haven't won the hat yet,
don't worry.
Don't be frustrated. We've got plenty.
I mean, there's 8 people who watch this show. We've given out 4 hats.
8 seems generous.
So okay. There's you have a really good chance.
Really
of
good
tonight.
Chance.
So. Here is what you need to tweet.
Tweet it out, people.
I'm watching Packer Transplants live on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by Wisco Disco Beer. Thank you to our sponsor, Wisco Disco.
Seriously.
Cheers.
Salute.
Don't want your cooties, but I'll take it. And yeah, bee's knees tonight.
Bee's knees in
next
the house.
Week is back to Wisco.
That's
can't
what
wait.
I like. That's I what
love
I like
bees.
To hear.
I love the bee's knees, but it kind of gets me ready to go for Wisco Disco next week. So
tweet it out, people, and you can win this hat. Alex Talish will announce the winner later tonight.
Yes, the Cheesehead TV Twitter account will let you know you've won. But
so let's get on it. Let's talk some football. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers setting NFL records.
Aaron Rodgers.
6 touchdowns and a half? Are you kidding me?
QB1.
Is he playing Madden? I mean, Ben Roethlisberger goes out and throws 6 touchdowns 2 games in a row. But they were the whole game. He needed an entire football match to make that happen. Not Mr. Rodgers. He does it in a half.
I kind of wish, though. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Here's where greedy Packer fan comes in.
Oh, Corey. Don't do it.
I tweeted this.
Don't say it.
I kind of wish. You almost feel like I really wanted him to tie the record. I really wanted to beat the record.
I know. I hear you. He ties the record at 6. Could have had it all to his own at 7, but 8, 9, 10,
it could have
10.
Been the sky's the limit.
Come on, okay.
I almost wish the Bears would have like scored.
Exactly, been a little better. But let's be real here. Let's be real here. If he had had the second half, the entire second half, the Bears had been anywhere near competitive. I mean, just competitive. Just let's say competent. If they didn't, let's say, suck. Aaron Rodgers would hold the record for most touchdowns in a single game.
Oh, easily.
There's like no doubt. He could have thrown 10.
Yeah.
He could have thrown 12.
Easily.
I mean, that's how ridiculous the Bears defense is. And Mark Trestman coming out on Monday and saying no one's getting fired. Well, it's very adorable that you're all going to go down together, but someone's going down.
Who would you fire?
I would fire Mel Tucker like yesterday. You have that horrible showing. If you're a Bears fan, you have that horrible showing against the Patriots where you give up a ridiculous amount of points. Then you have a bye week, and you come out of the bye week to that? Somebody's getting fired. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's a groundskeeper like they did in Green Bay a couple years ago, but someone's getting fired.
I think my favorite part of the entire like record thing is that the Rochester 1923 team gets mentioned.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to love that.
I love it. And, you know, they back-to-back, giving up 50 first time since that year. I think it was 32, actually. I think you inverted those, but I don't know. But...
Oh, it's not 23, it's 32.
I think it's 32. But...
Well, you would know by looking at the game matrix on Cheesehead TV, by the way.
Ooh, game matrix. Ooh.
For those nerds out there.
We have very nerdy applications here at CheeseheadTV.com.
About that loser team.
So, there we go. Aaron Rodgers, he's a record. He's amazing. Another amazing man is Clay Matthews, moving inside. I mean, this, I think everybody will agree, was a surprise.
I think we need to give a cheers because Jersey Al just came on the chat.
Hey, Jersey Al, what's
Jersey
up, buddy?
Al.
There we go. Jersey Al in the live chat joining us.
Yeah. Sorry, I just
you
needed
all
a reason
obviously
to drink.
Know his website. If you don't, check it out.
I just needed a reason to drink.
CallGBP.com. Hit it up. Clay Matthews moving inside. I mean,
oh my God.
Love it.
Oh my God.
Love it.
Aaron, uh-oh. Clay Matthews is moving inside. Can you believe it? This is going to change the entire defense.
Well, it kind of did on Sunday night. I take it from your tone that you are not a believer.
No, I'm a believer. It's just the media, man.
I know.
The media's got me down.
I knew
man.
You were going to go here. I love it.
The media has got me down. Okay,
why is that?
I am a believer.
Right.
But it's like, you know, and I guess like shows like ours
right.
are helping the way to right. to right. nitpick every little thing.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know.
Why? Well, okay, what's your gripe? What's your gripe?
I don't
Let
know.
Let me know. Well, you got something. The sarcastic tone of your overzealous jubilation there tells me you got to nit to pick yourself. So
no,
what is
it? It's not really, yeah, it's really small. I don't know. It's just like this big, huge deal.
It
and
is
then
a big,
like
huge deal.
Packer Report, okay,
oh, no. Oh,
gets on and is like on Twitter and he's like, oh, Bill Huber. And he's like, oh, well, I called this a training camp. Okay, dude, if you call something a training camp, and then it doesn't happen for 10 games. Guess what? You didn't call it. Okay? Right. That's like calling shotgun 3 months before and being like, I call shotgun. No, dude. You didn't call shotgun right now.
All right. Well, okay. Let's calm down here.
I'm sorry.
Calm down.
I just, that Bill, just really
Bill,
annoyed
Bill's
me.
A good guy and he's not Vic.
That
so
just really
just
annoyed
relax.
Me.
Right.
And then also the media. But that's
okay,
part of the media.
But wait. But
it's
wait.
Like this big deal that right. Clay, like, I know it's a big deal. I know he gets paid
right.
big, you know.
Big bucks.
OLB money for our defense,
well,
right? MLB money.
He gets paid pass rusher money.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
He
gets paid to sack the
But guess what?
Yeah.
He's a team player. That's why we drafted the guy,
yeah.
right?
right?
He comes from a lineage, a royal football lineage.
Yeah, I mean, it's the bloodline.
That is all about
it's the bloodline,
team,
baby.
The team
yeah.
first, and that's yeah. how you become a hero,
right.
right?
Right.
And we hired him to shore up the defense.
Right, yeah.
When we first drafted him, it was yeah. a shore up the defense. And guess what? Our interior... is a little weak.
A little
you
bit.
Said it yourself on Twitter.
A little bit.
Brad Jones?
Not happening.
What happened?
We gave Brad Jones a $3 million signing bonus so we could play Clay Matthews on the inside. Got it. And I will say, and I went back and forth with Greg Bedard about this on Twitter a little bit. Bedard was giving the Packers grief because, it only took 2 years to make an obvious move, which, to your point about Bill Huber calling it in training camp, he wasn't the only one. Brian Caribou called it. I think our friends at Titletown Sound called it. I think our good friend Jersey Al, if not him, somebody on his site called it.
So
there were a lot of people
so
who were saying.
So do you think just Ted, I mean, Mike just decided to
I think
screw the haters? Mike
and Capers
he,
read the Packers blogosphere? Maybe.
They're like, well, we're not going to do what they say.
I will say, though, I think they do deserve kudos for making the move because it's very apparent that they didn't have anything there. My question is all of those people wrote those articles because it was blazingly obvious that they had a deficiency in the middle. Why doesn't or didn't Ted see that deficiency? Why did Ted give Brad Jones the contract he did? Why did he not actively... why didn't Chris Borland get drafted? You know, there's a lot of things where you've got this obvious deficiency, and mostly it's pursuit. It's all about pursuit from the inside out. The best defenses in the NFL have the best pursuit from their interior, whether it be the D linemen or the linebackers, from the inside positions to the outside, the perimeter, outside the hash marks. The best defenses year in and year out, especially in this day and age where offenses love to work the perimeter and try and get the ball outside in space, if you have pursuit from inside out, you're in trouble as an offense. And Clay Matthews absolutely brought that to the Packers defense, something they have not had for a long time. So I do give them mad props for making that move. It was a surprise. I was as shocked as everyone else.
And it worked.
But why did it take so long? That's the question. If so many people could see it, and it was so obvious, why did it take, and as I've said a million times, football guys, football coaches, they make it so much more difficult than it needs to be. And this is a perfect example.
Yeah, but it's easy. Okay. To that point. Right. It's easy to also, it's easy to look from the outside.
Yeah, I know.
For Bedard,
okay.
For you, for me, for it's everybody.
It's why I don't like to nitpick
on play calling like some other media
and let
types.
Me tell you, and let me tell you, you're the one who got me around on that. I used to be the worst play caller critic ever. Ever.
I was horrible.
But you're the one who made me see the light on that. And you're right. And you're also right about this point about, yes, it is easy to throw out opinions that no one ever takes to task or slash ever puts, you know, to practical use. If everything that we suggested in the media, you know, that the Packers organization took to heart and tried, it would be very interesting to calculate the hit rate there.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Goodness.
But, yeah. So when the members of the media call for stuff and it happens and it works, yeah, of course we say, look, this, you know, we called this.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between you talking about something a week before or anyone talking about it a week before and talking about something in training camp that's now happens to be coming to fruition and just taking credit for it, sitting in the press box in the heat, not even like, come on, dude, come on. I'm sorry. I love the beat writers, but sometimes they're a little too cushy and they take their jobs a little too seriously.
I don't even know who you are right now. All right.
I mean, you wanted a foil. Yeah.
Can we move on? Corey and I, by the way, spent the 5 minutes before the program started this evening. We went back and watched the very first Packer Transplants video podcast. That, my friends, my Packer brethren, that is a trip down memory lane.
Don't do it.
Go to thecheeseheadtv.com.
It'll look really dumb.
Go to the YouTube page. Go to Cheesehead TV's YouTube channel.
Like, Aaron is like, man, that looks really good. I like it dark. I'm like, dude, I didn't have any lights.
It looks great.
That's why it looks.
It looks great. We had a crawl. We had stats. We had rankings. It was all interactive, man.
Yeah, that took like all week.
I know. We've really fallen off.
Now we have rookie report and Mike's best and worst.
We've got this rinky dink show going on. I don't know what we're doing.
Now, what's really funny is people are I know I'm egotistical, but people are talking about people are going. Somebody said on the chat that every day I'm looking more and more like Mike Spofford, which I think is hilarious. And then somebody, Quincy Mitchell, says, Corey looks like a spectacular combination of Mike Spofford and Mr. Bean. I've gotten Mr. Bean a lot in my life.
Corey is often.
But what's hilarious, though, is on Facebook, last week you posted a picture of me.
Mm-hmm.
And on Facebook, the one comment was, oh, hi, Sheldon. Which I thought was like, oh, man, that's sweet. That guy's a good actor.
Oh, that's great. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I'm like, Sheldon, I'll take it.
I'll take it. He's making money, so that's good. We're not.
Oh, don't forget the hats. Lambo Joe, old podcast. You know, that is true. How do we do Packer transplants without
my hat?
The newsy hat.
I know.
Without the jazz hat.
Well, we can thank Carolyn Negler for that one.
It's all Carolyn's fault.
She threw it away, dudes. Nothing I can do about it. She was not having it anymore. She was done with the newsboy hat.
I like that hat.
I love that hat, but it went mysteriously.
What was great about that hat was kind of the foil for the show. You know, you say we need a foil.
Here we
the foil.
Corey keeps
hat.
Bringing this up. Obviously, doesn't want to keep it in house. So let's talk about it. Let's just air it out. All right.
Well, you're the one airing out the angel investor on Twitter.
Yeah, we need an angel investor. Do I want to freaking pop up freaking autoplay video ads for the rest of my life? No. Somebody needs to give us some money and shut that shit down. I'm sick of it. At home, I'm like, why do I open my tabs? I got the thing. All of a sudden, there's a freaking ad playing. I don't know where the hell it is. Oh, it's on Cheesehead TV. Oh, wait, that's my website. Why is there an autoplay ad? The thing that, like, everyone on the internet
ads
hates
pay
more
the bill.
Than life itself.
Ads pay the bills, Nagler.
So anyway, as we were saying just before we came on, Corey and I were talking about having a foil. We need a foil. We need, you know, those of you at CheeseheadTV.com, you read the comment sections. You all know what we're talking about when I say we need cow in the flesh. We need like a Skip Bayless of Packers fans. Like someone who will come here and voice the opinions of all the morons who want, you know, Mike McCarthy fired, or who say, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't clutch, or all these idiots. And you know they're out there because they're on Twitter and we see them every week. And you know they're out there because you go to Lambeau Field and you sit in front of them and they say stupid crap throughout the entire game. Or you know they're out there because during the draft they're like, you didn't trade up for so-and-so. Like, dude.
or no.
Shut
no,
up.
No, the best is when the whole Brett Favre thing happened, okay? And I know I was the one that made the trader video. But at the same time, do you remember when they had the protests at Lambeau?
Oh, my God.
That was so good.
You mean all 12 of them? All 12 people showed up?
And it was like, it was covered as if it was like,
an event.
Yeah, it was like the not 1%, 99%.
We need someone to represent the moron community.
Lambeau Joe says, just bring any Vikings fan. I can.
See, yeah. See, that's the thing. That's where Corey and I were kind of in contention here is that, you know, Corey was like, well, you should get a Bears fan or a Vikings fan. I'm like, no, it's got to be a Packers fan. Because let's face it, every fan base has a decent subsection of morons. The Green Bay Packers are no different. Every fan base has.
Yeah, you're looking at them on this show.
So, you know, Corey and I two morons. We want to shamelessly exploit the morons to make Cheesehead TV bigger. That's it. It's pretty simple.
So, Joe on the chat is...
You're just going to read the chat all
No,
night.
I just think it's funny that like everybody else is talking about what we're saying.
Right.
And Joe on the chat, who is probably a diehard Packer fan, he's saying...
I hope so.
Can Capers realistically slow Chip Kelly's offense down enough to give us a chance to win on Sunday? So, thanks for getting us back to the Packers, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Can he?
No, let's not talk about that. We're going to talk about that later because that's the defense.
Let's talk about it now. Joe
okay.
asked. Yeah, it's fine.
All right, for Joe.
Yeah, the big concern, what's interesting is you watched last night against the Panthers, is how pass-happy that offense was, even with Mark Sanchez at the helm. They've had their issues running the ball this year, but I was shocked at how little they ran it with Shady McCoy. And how little they even attempted to run it. Last year, when they came to Lambeau, Chip made hay against the Packers with lots of motion, obviously, but that's nothing new, but with an unbalanced line. He had three or four plays, which were just, the Packers did not know what the fuck to do with it. Like, they saw the unbalanced line, all their keys went out the door, and McCoy would bust off like a 20-yard run to the right, 18-yard run to the left, et cetera, et cetera. To me, that's the big thing. Like, I think I was watching last night and I'm thinking the Packers are going to win this game. I really do. I really do think the Packers win.
That's what I always think.
I know you do, but I think they can roll their defense. On the concern is obviously the Packers defense against Chip's offense. I think they can't get trapped into playing Chip's game of like he's gonna go tempo. They're going to have to contain it, and they're going to have to make them not kill them fast. They're going to have to keep two high safeties all the time, and I know the temptation is there to come down and help the run, but that does little good when you saw Carolina last night. They were putting 8-9 in the box, and they were just letting Sanchez go to town. Mark Sanchez was going to town.
Jersey Al saying, Eagles ran the ball 23 times.
Yeah, and how many of those were in the first half?
I don't know. Jersey Al said it.
I know. I'm just saying. They barely ran the ball. They passed. We'll have Jeff McClain on later tonight, and he'll tell you. His Twitter feed was blowing up about how the running game didn't do anything, and they went away from the running game, and why are they going away from Shady McCoy when they have Mark Sanchez? That was all the talk in Philadelphia today. It's just interesting to me that the perception is, you know, Chip Kelly is this high-flying offense, yada, 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 and yet even when the Eagles have by far their most dominating performance, the fan base is all up in arms.
Yeah, but how much is that? Like us, right? A lot of our dominating performance was because of the Bears, even against Carolina. Philadelphia's against Carolina. How much is it that?
No, that's a big part of it. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. But it is still an NFL game. It is still, you know,
how
paid
much
professionals.
Do you wish that Jay Cutler could be the quarterback against us every time?
Because
I wish that every week... We were playing Jay Cutler.
Yeah, it'd be great, except I want to beat the best, and Jay Cutler ain't the best.
No, I don't want to beat the best.
I want to beat the best.
I just want to have more Super Bowl rings than the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then after that...
They're working on it, Corey. They're working on it.
So I want to be the best, but I don't need to beat the best to be the best. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, man. Hey,
there's no billionaires out there that are like, man, I beat the best. They're like, man, I love this jet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think that's a romanticized view, personally.
Probably.
But
I still want to be the
best.
And
I agree with it.
I still want to be able to turn around 20 years later and go, yeah, remember when you had the greatest player on earth and we beat you?
No. We're going to go, remember when we won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I know. Bam! Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I want to do both.
Does it really
matter? Why does it want to do both?
If you beat the Chicago Bears
right.
and Jay Cutler throws three picks in the NFC
Packers,
Championship.
Which the Packers did twice this year. I just want to point out.
So you beat the Bears, which it is crazy how little we've played the Bears in the playoffs.
I know.
It's insane.
Yeah, when they said it last night, it struck me too. Twice.
And I've known
one
that
of them was an
time,
NFC Championship game. It's crazy.
That was recent.
I know.
The
2010.
XLV, yeah, the XLV run. It's kind of like crazy. I mean, we've played the championship games, of course,
NFL championship games.
So that's why I think they make the distinction.
It's crazy.
It is. Anyway, I used to agree with that romanticized notion of like, oh, we got to beat the best.
Right.
But at the end of the day, does it really matter?
Well, no. I'm just saying it would be nice. That's all. I want to beat the best. I want to say we're the best because we beat the best. That's all. I don't want some like, you know. The quarterback got hurt, so they had to play their backup, so now we're better than they are. No, I want to beat them
even
at
if we
full,
win the Super Bowl.
I want to beat them at full strength. I love winning the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. It's freaking awesome. They've done it twice in my
cool,
lifetime,
dude.
And it was awesome both times.
It was cooler the second time than it was the first time, and the first time was pretty freaking cool. The only reason...
Well, it's because you were there for the second one.
The only reason the second time was cooler is because I went to every playoff game on the road, and the Packers probably... I don't think another team will... We'll see if another team can actually pull that off.
Another team has.
It's pretty
another
badass.
Another team did it before the Packers, actually.
Yeah, we'll see if another team can do
there
it.
There you go.
I doubt it. On the road, three games, then
we'll
the Super
see.
Bowl.
We'll see.
Slow down, Nagler.
Well, you need to skip way ahead because we got 5 minutes till we got to call Jeff.
We're not going
to
do sitting and laying making it.
Do we want
injuries?
To? I mean, do we just want to skip? I don't know. What do you?
Are we going to the
me?
Offense?
Wait, but why don't we play some videos? We got all sorts of stuff we got to do here, dude.
Oh,
there's so much we got to do.
We don't have to do it.
Oh, it's true.
It's our show.
I love how this is. We have a kind of a rundown, but not really. Or you could just read the live blog, and we could.
I mean,
go,
everybody's talking about Sanchez, and I just want to make a point about Sanchez.
Oh boy,
okay?
Here we go.
Do you really think that we're going to lose to a team that has Mark Sanchez as the quarterback?
Okay, let me just point this out.
Come on, dude.
Let's just point this out. Let's just point this out right now.
Okay, you better not say anything stupid, or I'm going to be pissed.
Okay, just point this out right now. Last year, the Eagles came to Lambeau Field and won. Against Scott Tolzien. This year, the Eagles get to come to Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers. The Eagles aren't winning this game.
No way, dude.
The Eagles are not winning this game.
Oh.
It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's as simple as that.
I'm so
Aaron Rodgers is going to be by far the best player on the field on Sunday.
Pretty
it's
much
not even
the
a question.
Worst place to watch an NFL game of all of the 32 places you can watch an NFL game is Philadelphia.
You would know.
It's really terrible.
And let me tell you, wait, now that we're totally off script, I'm going to tell you why the Packers are going to destroy the Eagles. Aaron Rodgers at home, you go back and watch all the games so far, from the Jets game to this past Sunday night, his use of cadence and his ability at the line of scrimmage when he's in Lambeau Field, we all know I'm Brett Favre 100%. I love Brett Favre. Brett Favre's domination at Lambeau Field was unparalleled and absolutely astounding, and we'll never see the like again until we see Aaron Rodgers. And he is absolutely dominating in a way that no one has since Bart Starr. It is unbelievable. His ability at the line and his use of the cadence and his knowledge of where the play clock is, what the defense is in, what I'm going to call, how they're going to react, and then what I'm going to do off their reaction. By the way, this all happens in the space of maybe 20 seconds. That's insanity. And he is doing it better than anyone I have ever seen.
I would agree.
And it's
I mean, here's
it's
the problem
the
with our show. I'm
it's
agreeing
the difference.
With you.
I know.
According to you, the problem with our show is that I agree.
We need a foil.
Okay.
Hence, we need a foil.
I need to. There's someone on the chat. Right. Okay, right. That is saying they disagree that Philadelphia is the worst place to watch a game. Okay, right. The Seahawks' horrible fans make the clink unbearable. Okay, there's something wrong with your statement.
Uh-oh.
Philadelphia playing the Packers during a playoff game.
Oh no,
is like walking in the Bronx at 4 in the morning on a Saturday. And this is in the daytime, mind you. Uh-huh. So
4 in the morning in the daytime. How's that work?
No. It's right. In the daytime during a game in Philadelphia is like walking in the Bronx, bad part of town.
Got it.
In the alley, 4 a.m. Okay? So there's nothing worse than that. Sorry.
There is no thing on this earth worse than that experience.
No.
And Corey Banky, who I might add, painted his face, wore a mohawk, and yelled "suck" every time they went "jets, jets, jets, jets" when we visited MetLife a few years ago.
But New York fans, they're fine.
But that was Corey. Even this guy, the guy I just described, yelling "suck" after the Jets cheer.
Oh, I didn't do that in Philadelphia.
Covered his Packers gear.
No,
up
I didn't.
His coat.
No. You're misrepresenting.
Until you went into the stadium and you took it off.
No,
out in the parking lot.
I have the video of everybody going "asshole." I have 200 people singing the song "asshole" to me. So I clearly was wearing my
jersey.
That
was in the stadium.
No, it's the woman who, Packer fan woman,
right.
Who came down to Rachel and I. We were in the front row,
of course,
at the playoff game, right? Because if you're gonna go to a playoff game, you guys will be in the front row.
Yeah, guys.
And this woman came down and was like, "I cannot believe you guys." And she was completely covered up.
Right.
And she zipped down and was like, "Oh, look at my Packer gear." And we're like, "Dude, the game's over. Nobody cares."
Yeah.
Now, granted, you're playing with fire, people. Because if you go there and you're going to talk some, you need to know what you're doing. You know, you need to know when to be good Packer fan and when you can kind of turn up the heat a little bit. And I was real careful because, you know, as we've seen in San Francisco, as we've seen in Philadelphia,
yes,
like
absolutely.
All of a sudden you can get thrown
stuff
over.
Stuff gets out of hand, man.
Things are bad and you can die.
Yeah, it's no doubt. It's no joke. All right, we need to take a break and then we come back.
No, we're not taking a break. We're just calling him.
Okay, call him. Call him, tough guy. Go ahead. You're in charge of the Skype. Go ahead. Why are you?
We don't take breaks on the show anymore.
Okay, go. People miss the porn music, dude, but whatever. Okay, call them.
Dude, we don't have time for that. I've taken us off the rails for 20 minutes.
You haven't. The live blog has. Okay, here we go. Right. Yeah, turn up. The volume's always good. Thanks. I still can't hear anything, but okay.
Well, I have to push the button.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. Just make sure
he knows we're live when we come on. I can't believe you're doing this, dude. This is like newfound territory. It's a new frontier.
You were the one that'd be like, "Oh, let's just call people."
No, it wasn't me. Ever. Not like this. Professionals that I know in the business.
Hello?
Jeff McLaren, it's Aaron Nagler. You're live on the air. How are you, buddy?
All right, man. What's up?
Thanks so much for joining us. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Getting ready for the Eagles Packers game.
That's it. That's what I like to hear. All right, let's get down to brass tacks right away here. Were you as shocked as everyone else? And I know he looked good in the preseason, but were you as surprised as everyone else at how good Mark Sanchez looked last night?
Well, if you told me, you know, back in March when the Eagles signed him originally, that he would look this, look this good by the ninth game of the season, jumping in there in his first start in 22 months, I would have said, yeah, I would have been shocked. But seeing how he's performed since the spring and then training camp and then preseason and obviously when he went in there against the Texans, I'm not surprised. I really thought that, you know, I think that his skill set is catered to this offense, and I think chip and turn has catered the offense to some of the things that Mark does a little better than perhaps Nick Foles. And I think Mark, in a lot of ways, you know, what happened in New York wasn't all of his doing. And I think maybe this is the opportunity he needs to show that he is a pretty good quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be the starter eventually or if he's, once again going to be a franchise quarterback, but I think he's certainly better than what he showed during the end of his tenure in New York.
Were you surprised in his first start in, Eagles Green, that they didn't lean on the running game more?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but Chip has shown that, he's not going to, ease quarterbacks in his system, into action. I mean, we saw last week when Sanchez had a jump in there against the Texans.
Yeah,
and
he
the first
threw a bomb.
Was, was a deep post. I mean, and Mark underthrew a little bit, but he hit it. And I thought, I did think that this game plan would have been more catered for the run, just because Panthers had struggled in that regard, and it seemed like, you know, LeSean was getting his mojo back, and they had Evan Mathis coming off injury. But they knew that I think they had inclinations that Panthers were going to play a lot of man defense and that they were going to stack the box. And what that did essentially was just gave them a lot of mismatches over the middle, and they took advantage of it. And I think Chip certainly has enough trust in Mark that he's going to hit those passes. And for the most part, he did.
You talk about mismatches. Somebody, you know, obviously Mark Sanchez is the highlight, the headline, if you will. But Jordan Matthews kind of had his coming out party last night. I mean, he looked like T.O. in his prime. Is that something that you think is going to carry over, or was that more of a product of a terrible Panthers secondary?
Probably a combination of things. One being, as you mentioned, the mismatch in terms of the slot cornerback. I mean, they've had a lot of issues at the position, and Matthews certainly took advantage of that. And again, the size advantage. He's a pretty big kid. He's 6'3", about 220 pounds, and the slot he's going up against is, you know, 5'10", et cetera. So that had something to do with it. I think, again, the game plan and where they thought they could take advantage of the Carolina Panthers defense played a part in it. But I also think that Matthews is getting better. Now, he's been pretty consistent this season. He got off to a slow start in the first two games, but he's definitely averaged around 4 or 5 catches a game, about 40-50 yards. And that's pretty good for your typical NFL slot receiver. But I think they believe that this kid is going to be one of the better slot receivers in the league. And maybe eventually they'll put him outside, but I think they like him in there right now. And I think that as, you know, this season wanes on, I think that you'll be able to see him grow even more.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job last night. He obviously has a rapport with Sanchez early on. Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, obviously last year, Bill Davis and the defense, they caught a break coming into Lambeau against Scott Tolzien. A little bit different this time around against Aaron Rodgers. How do you see them approaching it this time around? Obviously, Rodgers and the Packers offense putting up insane numbers week in and week out at home in Lambeau. What do you think the game plan is from Bill Davis?
That's a good question. I did get to talk to Bill a little bit after the game last night, and after, you know, we were praising him for his defensive game plan against the Panthers, and really, honestly, he's done a great job this year overall. I said, I don't want to spoil the night, but, you know, are you ready for Rodgers and the Packers offense? And, you know, he respects Rodgers, is what he said, obviously, and he thinks that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's another obvious statement. But he said, you know what? I mean, you know, we're ready for him. I don't think he knew that yet what they were planning. He said he hadn't really watched them and broke down tape yet and decided how they're going to attack him. But he says, we want to go up against the best, and we want to see how we stack up against the best, and certainly they're going to face the best. In terms of the game plan, I mean, you don't blitz Rodgers, right? So I don't imagine they'll do much of that. They do a lot of different things in terms of on passing downs. They've had a lot of dime they've used. I imagine they'll have somebody actually even also spying him on those plays. They did this past week against Newton. Connor Barwin did some. Nolan Carroll, who's been the sixth defensive back in the dime, he did a little bit of it too. So they're not going to let him obviously beat him that way, but I don't know. I think they may just man them up, man press, and just have those guys beat them. I mean, I think that's what it's going to come down to, and hopefully they can outscore them on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, you mentioned Connor Barwin there. I mean, he did have an absolute monster game against the Panthers, and he was spying Newton quite a bit. Has that been there all year? I mean, for Packers fans, they're just kind of, you know, getting to look at this Eagles team for the first time. You know, there they are on national television, you know, conveniently the week before the Packers play them. What's his year been like? Because I tell you what, he looked like the reincarnation of Reggie White on Monday night.
Barwin's been getting a lot of pressure, especially the last 6 games. All 10.5 of his sacks have come over that span. He was really good last year. They just weren't rushing him as much as they do this year. And I think a lot of his sacks have been a byproduct of what you've seen from guys like Fletcher Cox, who only got his first sack last night. But he's consistently gotten pressure up the middle, and what happens often when he's pushing quarterbacks and not allowing them to step out of the pocket is they're being flushed outside. And Barwin, he's not your kind of like attack off the edge and get to the quarterback, sack him. He's a really smart player, and he's able to read a play, perhaps a step ahead of other guys, and he'll notice a quarterback being moved off his mark, and that's when he'll clean up and get the sack. So that's something he's done very well. But he does a lot of things well. I mean, he's great at setting the edge against the run in this 3-4 scheme that they have up front. And he can drop into coverage. He can back pass. He's kind of like a do-it-all guy. The sacks just happen to be a byproduct of, I think, a lot of the work of others guys and just how well the defense is playing at this point.
All right, we're talking to Jeff McClain from the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com. Jeff, I know it's only Tuesday, but do you have a prediction yet, or are you still crunching tape? I know the NFL and their wisdom has made the tape from last night's game unavailable for 24 hours. Do you have a prediction for Sunday?
I mean, I think I'm going with the Packers. I mean, I've been saying that since the start of the season, just because when obviously you mentioned this before, Aaron, when they got the Packers last season, they were without Aaron Rodgers and they faced two substandard quarterbacks, and Clay Matthews was just coming back from his injuries, wearing a large cast, and the Eagles got a little lucky. I mean, Foles threw up a couple of passes that Riley Cooper just happened to track and catch. I think Deshaun caught one that was batted or deflected to him, and they eventually did very good against on the ground against that defense. But I think the Packers, obviously with Rodgers back, but I think that they're a little bit different team than we saw last year at this time. It's pretty much the same period, right? Last November. And they got to go into Lambeau, and I think they're playing well. I think they're probably as good as the Packers on a neutral site, but going into Lambeau where the Packers are just so deadly, it's going to be a tall task for them to come out of there with a victory.
Smartest thing you ever said, Jeff. Yep. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Absolute legend for taking the time. Can't wait to read your stuff throughout the week. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Jeff McClain from the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com. Seriously, check his stuff out. He's on Twitter. He's fantastic. And I think he kind of nailed it there. I think, it is a different ballgame this time around there, Banky.
For once, I agree with you. Like, my job is not to agree with you, but I'm going to agree with you. And I'm going to go ahead and we're going to, basically reset with this video.
Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, the Week 10 edition for the 2014 NFL regular season. Lots to choose from in the good category this week, but let's go with Mike signing off on the move of Clay Matthews to the middle linebacking spot in the base defense. Playing inside alongside A.J. Hawk, Matthews brought a vitality and excitement and absolutely re-energized the defense. He had 11 tackles, by far his best game on the year. He looked like a different player, and the defense, especially against the run, came to life. On the bad side of the ledger, Mike, you're challenging a 3-yard reception in the depths of a blowout? We got places to be, man. We got drinks to hit up. We got things to do with our lives. And you're challenging a 3-yard reception. Come on, Mike. I got to throw a challenge flag on that. But overall, that's a fantastic game. Total domination of the Bears both games this year. Well done. Mike's best and worst. Hitting it up. We're back. Missed it the bye week. Missed it after the Saints game, but it's back.
Everybody subscribe to YouTube.
Hit it up, people.
Come on.
Come on now. We promise there's goodness involved if you just start subscribing. Make it happen.
Oh, man.
All right, let's get through the offense here. Let's talk about a little offense.
Back to the beginning, huh?
Yeah, right? Like there's a script or something? Just stop reading the live chat. Maybe we'll actually get something done here.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try.
Hey, the Packers came out in the two tight end set again.
What's happening?
I loved it. I love that they came back. And by the way, I really think they called the exact same play to start the game as they did down in Chicago. Aaron just didn't like the look. It was this, Rodgers is on doing an out and Jordy is doing a comeback. And Aaron looked over there, didn't like it, and then he checked it down to Lacy. But I'm pretty sure it was the exact same call, which I thought was lovely. But I love two tight end sets. I love that they ran it a bunch at the beginning there. I hope they keep that up. Mike was great using those tight ends in the wishbone, the inverted wishbone. Had the Bone or the Falcon or whatever, the Rhino, whatever they want to call those formations now. I loved it. I loved using those guys. Love that they got involved. I hope we see more of it. The Screen Game. Eddie Lacy. How about that screen?
Why I cannot wait if Philly decides to blitz us.
I don't think it's over.
If Philly blitzes us, the entire game is over.
I don't think any Packers fan for the rest of the year can complain about the lack of a screen game. Between what Eddie Lacy did down in New Orleans and then what he did on that play against the Bears, I mean, Mike, take your time. Call them whenever you think they're right because you've been hitting on them. Because holy cow. And now, that should have been like a 12-yard gain.
That was ridiculous.
Like maybe. And Eddie Lacy,
that was so
all
ridiculous.
By himself, turns it into this 56-yard touchdown.
Jordy Nelson had a nice
block. Jordy Nelson had a great block. Had a great block. But Jordy Nelson doesn't have a block to make.
No.
Unless Eddie Lacy creates
it. I wasn't going to read the live chat.
But here you go.
Okay. Ryan, who actually goaded me to read the live chat, was the one who I was going to read his comment. And it's kind of, I was going to be snarky about it. And I can't help myself. So he goes... Ryan, he goes.
Oh, Lord.
Wait,
poor Ryan. Ryan trying to interact with the people on the interwebs.
Ryan's like, I liked that interview. He's like, really good. Really enjoyed that interview. If possible, maybe try to get opposing beat writers as often as possible. Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the feedback, bro.
Why you gotta be a jerk?
Because Vic Ketchman's not being a jerk. Somebody's got to be a jerk to Packer fans.
Why you gotta be a jerk, man? Hey,
Ryan won a hat from us. So I will say,
yeah, I do try when I remember, but I often forget.
Always trying to get Wildy on the show.
Yeah,
like, Wildy, I don't know if you knew, play the Wildy in the credits because I'm trying to get him to come on the show.
We tried to get Wildy tonight. He's too busy, but he will be joining us next week.
And that's the problem.
So set your calendar.
If you want to get Wildy and you want to get Silverstein, which I do, and right. You want to get Ty Dunwall, you know, you want to get all the beat writers to make them feel love. So they come to Throwback Weekend and they feel love because we love them.
We do like having them genuinely on the show.
We love having them. And we only have an hour. And God knows I take up 20 minutes talking about things that aren't even on the
script. Whatever you're
talking
about.
So then what do you have time for? You basically have no time to talk about anything.
I know. But the suggestion is a good one. And I will.
And Ryan's saying I clamored for Wildy last week. Ryan, we can't help you. We can't make you happy in any way, shape, or form.
No. Just, you know, we give and we give and we give. Just not appreciated, Corey. I don't even know why.
Then Lambo Joe puts Wildy sucks.
Dude, you
really,
know,
dude?
You know, come on now.
He's not going to come on the show if everybody puts Wildy sucks.
Well, actually, a couple years ago, we made it trend.
No, he actually came to Throwback Weekend, I know, I was like, dude, you came just so that we wouldn't put Wildy sucks
on Twitter.
Like, yeah. He didn't admit it, but he didn't deny it.
Well, we can ask him about it next week.
We have a lot.
Randall Cobb taking advantage. Interesting that touchdown towards the end of the half, right at the end of the half. Not the same play, but similar in the fact that the Bears wanted to bring some heat, so they only had one safety available. Of course, that safety shaded where? To Jordy Nelson, and there's Randall Cobb getting one-on-one coverage, and the coverage was not bad, but Randall Cobb's going to beat that more often than not.
Oh, my goodness.
Especially if you are going to blitz and Rodgers is getting that ball out of his hands in rhythm on time. Randall Cobb's going to make you look foolish.
He's going to get paid, too.
He is.
And I hate to tell you, but he's going to get paid.
No, he is. And it's funnily enough, we did a video about this at Sports Illustrated today about Randall Cobb, myself and Andrew Brandt.
Sports Illustrated talks about the they had Andrew Brandt.
Yeah, of course.
Why would they talk about the Packers?
Well, because we were talking about free agency coming up. And we talked about all sorts of people, but one of the people we talked about was Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb's going to get paid, and that means Tremont's not going to get paid.
I don't know if there's an exact causation there, but okay. I would agree that that's
okay,
what's going to happen.
Okay, Mr. Tech Startup, it's not a causation. Okay, Mr. Spotify, Daniel Elk had a response
to the whole
Taylor Swift that
You
tweeted.
Team Taylor, by the way.
And I actually agree, too. Like, dude, okay, two things I want to say to Packer fans I forget.
Team Taylor.
One is, never trust the CEO of a tech startup. Ever.
Yes.
Ever.
You're correct.
Daniel Elk, it doesn't matter who they are, never trust them. When they say that they're trying to do good for the world, they are not. They are trying to make money.
He's correct.
Okay?
He's correct.
Number two, never, ever, 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 times a million, go to the bathroom by yourself in a visitor away stadium. Do not ever do it. And if you're at the Bears and Philadelphia, don't ever do it. It's the biggest mistake you will ever make as a Packer fan.
I thought for sure this was going to be something tech related on the second one, and you brought it right back.
No, don't do it. Because while I was listening to that interview, I was like, oh my God, I got to tell Packer fans, do not do it. And we've actually said it on another show. God. But Wally and I, we went to the Bears NFL champion. Wally Pingle, great guy.
I was there.
We went to the Bears NFC championship game. And I told him, I'm like, dude, this is Chicago. Like, I need you to go with me to the bathroom. Sorry, bro. I'm like, sorry, but we have to have two of us so there's a witness.
Wow. My God. Well, hey.
Don't do it.
Hey,
don't.
As you mentioned,
you know what?
Though,
do what my grandfather does. Do what my grandfather does. Don't drink after the first quarter, and then you won't have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I can't get on board with that. But, I mean, you look at the news. You look at the guy out in San Francisco who got beat in the bathroom. I mean, dude, he's a vegetable for life because he went to a football game. That ain't right.
Dude, it ain't no joke. One time I was in line at Soldier Field, and I was like, I mean, I'm taking heat, right? And right, I didn't have like makeup on or anything. Right. And I'm taking serious heat. And I'm like in the line, and you know, the line's going like a little bit forward. And I'm like, when I get up to the urinal,
die.
Something bad is going to happen.
It's
like
going
that feeling
to
when you're in third grade and you realize the two bullies are in the bathroom with you.
Yep.
And you are effed. Like, like your head's going in the toilet bowl. Something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen.
And it's going to be bad. Don't do it. I'm telling you.
And there are no witnesses, so bring a witness.
Bring a witness. Even if that witness gets their ass kicked, if somebody makes it out alive, someone will have to pay for that. At least you'll get justice.
I can't even. I kept trying to turn pages, and I can't. I got nothing. We want to talk about some defense now, or what do we want to do? Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Somebody on the chat says, I'm getting past the denial phase on Tremont. No, back to what we were talking about. Look.
Aren't you, though?
If we're going to pay Cobb, look, if there's a salary cap, unfortunately, I believe in the idea of the salary cap as a competition.
Right, as a competitive balance mechanism.
But
right.
I don't believe the salary cap is high enough.
Well, it's not American.
As a business
It's not American.
Matter. It's not high
it's
enough.
Not American.
It should be like $250 million or $500 million,
at least.
Right?
Yeah. At least.
Because they're making like a, dude.
$14 billion this year, probably.
Really?
Yep.
And what's the salary cap? 120 million?
126, I think.
Wow.
Roughly.
And it always amazes me when people are like, even Rob Domofsky today, he's like a practice squad player makes $90,000 a year. Guess what? That practice squad player probably won't play the NFL again, ever again, but there's a really good likelihood that he'll have an injury that he'll have to live with the rest of his life.
Yep.
Okay, so some of us make 40,000, some of us make 60, whatever. And some a tech startup graphic designer, any graphic designer, makes $90,000 in New York City. So you're telling me a guy or a gal who sits on Photoshop doing layers, right? Changing layers out and making sure that it looks like the right red and the right Pantone is worth more than a person
or
who
the same as.
Are the same as a person who lays their life on the line on a football field? I just don't see it.
Well, okay, slow down. It's not their life on the line. They will have to. And it's funny you mentioned this because I put something out there on Twitter last night about this very thing. It's like we were watching football, and I get it. They are compensated. But to Corey's point, and this is always interesting, the responses to this. Last night I put out because yesterday you saw Carson Palmer admit to bawling his eyes out on Sunday night after he learned that his season was done due to his ACL. After the game on Sunday, you saw Josh McCown teary-eyed at the podium after crying his eyes out after the game because they keep losing and he can't help them and they're all losing and it's just awful. You forget how personal it is. You forget everything that's going on behind the scenes. We watch football. We see a guy get injured. Say like
it's
last
entertainment.
Night. What, look at Brandon Marshall on Sunday night. We see a guy get injured, he goes off the field, we watch the rest of the game, we turn the set off, maybe we check our fantasy scores, and then these guys are meanwhile down the tunnel, sitting in an ice bucket or on an x-ray machine. Brandon Marshall's got to get on a plane to go to Chicago and then start his rehab process. All this is going on while we move on, and I get it. all the responses.
I mean, it is entertainment.
I get it. It is entertainment, and they are compensated as such. They are compensated
as entertainers. But they do. It's not hyperbole to say they put their life on the line. It really is not.
Well, in this day and age, it's not. That's for damn sure.
Especially with CTE. It's
not a
joke.
CTE and ALS and everything.
Like,
yes,
literally,
I agree.
They're saying, okay, I probably won't have a life after this. And it's interesting because HBO is coming out with the new series, which I'm very fascinated about. They've been sending us emails. We put the trailer up on Cheesehead TV. Brett Favre's in it.
Yep.
And it's really... It is amazing, and I think ballet dancers, you're going to laugh at me, but ballet dancers have to go through this. Some actors have to go through this. Olympic athletes have to go through this, where you have this thing you work your entire life for. And
it
then
is your entire focus. It is your
everything.
Entire obsession.
It's everything. You don't go to prom because of it. You don't go to whatever. And football players maybe go to prom or homecoming or whatever. But
they give up a
you
lot.
You sacrifice parts of your life in order to do this thing, and then all of a sudden, you're a practice squad player for $90,000, and then all of a sudden, you're done.
Well, that's the thing. You think about the average NFL player, their average career, average, is 3 years.
3 years.
Maybe 3.5,
and you can look
on
at
which
Charles
data
Woodson
you're
for like
at.
12 years, but that's the exception, 12. Not the rule.
Hell, he's like 18 now or something like that. But
that's the exception.
Yeah, and then what are you doing? You've spent all your life dedicated every waking moment to this endeavor, and then it's gone. And what do you have to show for it? Some money in the bank and a broken body. Just something to think
about.
It's
really sad.
And it's not a pity party.
It's not a pity party because you and I laugh about the fact that, fact that in 40 years, right? Well, 40, that puts me in. Okay, so in 40 years, we're like almost 80 years old I remember the time when we started this thing, you know, and we're like the diehards of the diehards, and basically the NFL has turned into, you
whatever
know,
it's going to turn
curling
into.
Curling or whatever, you know, whatever. Curling. We'll still be here talking about like the, you know.
The good old days.
Yeah, and
when guys used to beat the crap out of each other.
It's going to have some type of full circle where it becomes 1919, 1920 again. It's going to have that phase. I'm not saying it's going there and it's going to go downhill forever, but it's going to have some kind of phase where it goes back to like, it's a blue collar, white collar thing like boxing.
I can see that. I can see it going the way of, like, typical of boxing. Like,
I mean,
as boxing.
Look, Mayweather, he's still the highest paid athlete in the world, and he's a boxer.
Which
is crazy if you think about it.
That is absolutely nuts. Well, we went off on a major tangent there. I don't even know what to talk about anymore.
Let's go to defense.
No, let's talk. Who's on the live blog? What are they saying? I can't. Like when we do this,
saying anything.
I can't get back in the.
You can
flow.
Do it, Nagler.
Because it sounds stupid to say
Nagler.
Micah High starting in the slot really helps the run defense.
No, but Alex Gillette. Okay, hold on. Let me just say Alex Gillette back in the practice. Gillette back in the practice squad. That's news.
It is news. There he is. He's back. I really liked him in preseason. I'm really, really glad he's back. I thought he showed real promise. It'll be interesting to see if he ever sees the field.
Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Very interesting what you said in Mike's Best and Worst. Actually, haha, Clinton Dix transitions us to something I want to play, which is something that we worked on this week and we're very proud of.
Okay, Mr. Banky.
And so we're going to play it.
Welcome back to the Rookie Report here at CheeseheadTV.com, week 10 of the 2014 NFL regular season. We're going to start off with Corey Linsley, the rookie center, absolutely dominated on Sunday night. Against Jeremiah Ratliff and company, he showed no signs of letting up on what's been a great rookie campaign. A couple of pancake blocks thrown in there, good job in pass pro, an A- for Linsley. Next up, we have Richard Rodgers. The tight end played more snaps at the position than anyone else, did a good job in the run game, has really improved there, did whatever was asked of him in the passing game, a C+ for Rodgers. Haha, Clinton Dix has regressed a bit the last few games. Down from the previous lofty heights we saw against Carolina, this kid is ducking his head way too often, though he did a better job against the Bears of coming to balance and trying to drive through his tackles. The unnecessary roughness penalty along the sideline was Bush League. He's got to cut that out. A C- for haha Clinton Dix. Devontae Adams played roughly half the offensive snaps. He was barely used as the Packers featured the tight ends much more against the Bears. He was fine. He ran his routes, did what he was asked to do. Solid C for Adams. Mike Pennell showed up with some pass rushing moves against the Bears, and not just in garbage time. A good situational player, he could add something down the stretch. It was nice to see. Against the Bears, he gets a B-. And there you have it, the Rookie Report for Week 10 at CheeseheadTV.com.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, I got a bone to pick with you, son.
I love it when I don't have the audio.
There was a movement. There was a feeling. There was an emotion, a heartbeat, if you will, in Packer
really
Nation.
There really was.
For 2 or 3 or even 4 weeks in a row, they came here. They gathered at CheeseheadTV.com for a program called Packer Transplants because they knew. They held the belief. They knew deep down in their soul that a man in New York City named Corey Behnke was going to take another man named Vic Ketchman in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He was going to take him to task.
I did.
For the nonsense and espousing ridiculousness and for basically being a bullshit artist. And yet, what have you done to repay that faith? To repay the soul searching, the depths to which they have reached below and pulled up their need, nay, the desire to come to you at CheeseheadTV.com and hear about the ridiculousness happening over at Packers.com. Last 3 weeks, you have let them down.
I mean, here's the thing. Vic Ketchman.
Really, after all of that, that's the segue we get?
Well, I knew that all I right. couldn't. All you right. had all this set up. I knew I could not pay that off.
All right. Okay.
And neither could Vic.
It's like, it's a
like, hey.
It's an acting exercise. I give. And yeah, you don't give back.
No, I just you had so much to give that I just was
that
like,
was it. That was exactly.
Here's the problem.
All right,
okay,
lay it out.
Vic Ketchman.
Yeah,
he's nice now.
Oh, stop,
dude. Read his stuff.
I can't even.
I challenge
this.
Any Packer fan out there. I challenge you to find something that annoys you about what Vic Ketchman says. I read today.
RIP your mentions on Twitter, dude, because you're about to get
now,
totally
I challenge you to look at what he said in the last 3 weeks. I challenge you to find a place where he's condescending. Okay, he still talks about his experience, but that's manhood, right? And womanhood. You got to talk about the things you know about, right?
Right.
So that I'm okay with. He's not making as many Steeler references.
Well, he made one yesterday.
He doesn't right. knock fans as much.
All right.
Dude, somebody talked to him because I said something. And I know that sounds egotistical, but I really, really believe that this show made a profound impact on Vic Ketchman's life.
We've affected change. That's good to know.
I really believe that. I know, you know, Nagler looks at me and he's like snarky.
I don't looking at you like
no,
anything.
Dude, you give me the snarky McSnarkerson look, okay?
I don't know what you're talking
and
about.
So he's like, dude, nobody watches the show, which I totally agree with. But at the same time, it's like, I think that the Packers told Vic Ketchman to tone it down and be a Packer fan and be like just be a human being, okay? And he has complied. You know what I love is that when the audio's out on the show,
yeah.
People are like, oh, the show just got better. This is our audience.
Always.
Like, what television had been as revolutionary had the audience been just always available
able to, give
to
back?
Say the feedback that they wanted to say?
That's awesome. They probably would have. It's fine-tuning it along the way. That's the whole point of the interaction.
Wait, Jersey Al. No, it's because of me, fool. Come on.
What?
Jersey Al's like, not just because of you, but still. No, because of me. Because they couldn't take the heat. They couldn't take the Melissa McCarthy heat coming from this show.
The what?
She was in this movie called The Heat.
Oh, got it.
It's a famous actress. Her name is Melissa McCarthy. She's really funny.
Never heard of her.
Oh, my God.
No, I have heard of her. She's in St. Vincent with Bill Murray.
Oh, now Jersey Al saying I have an ego. Okay, write an article about it, Jersey Al.
You know, there's not enough of that. There's not enough. Speaking of the Packers blogosphere, we're all way too nice to each other. We always used to hate on each other.
I am trying to. I'm auditioning. I'm auditioning tonight for the role of the foil of Packer Transplants Live.
It used to be a day. I remember Packer Geeks. They still like tweet every once in a while and still write posts every blue moon. I used to love going back and forth with them. But Steve, who writes there, he writes for the Weekly Standard and appears on Fox News and whatever. He's given it up, and now it's just his brother, and it's not nearly as good.
No.
Like, those were the days, man. We used to go back and forth.
Yeah. Well, also, it helped that, like, his brother was like, they're like conservatives, and we're like moderates.
We're something. I don't know what we are. We're Packer
fans. We live in New York, so people think we're liberals, but we're really moderates.
You know, I don't want to get on all that. But all I know is we're all Packer fans. And it used to be great when we always used to, like, you know, go at each other's throats, but we all, you know, we push and we shove, but we still love.
And now everybody just goes at your throat.
Yeah, well, you know. That's what I had as some fool banned on Twitter. That was not good.
Dude, you block and mute people on Twitter.
I have to. This is one dude, man. He was just rude and awful. I had to get to block people like that.
That's why they're called trolls, bro.
Yeah, they are. And they are plentiful. All right. Well, you know what we didn't do? We got Jeff's prediction. We didn't get your prediction, Banky. And I said my prediction first off on
mine,
the show.
Mine actually is closer. Mine this season. Okay, I'm going to make a graphic next week. No, I'm not. I'm going to make a graphic next week basically shows my predictions this season versus your predictions.
Yeah.
And I'll bet $100 that my predictions have been more on point this year than your predictions.
I think your score projections have been better, but my overall record is much better. Because you've actually picked them to win every single week.
Of course.
That hasn't happened.
And
I've picked them to lose a few times.
And the times you've picked them to lose, they've won.
No, they lost against Detroit. What are you talking about?
I'm scared of Detroit.
I'm not. Not yet. We'll win in Lambeau in week 17.
Did you see that Ty Dunn posted this thing that Detroit has a better percentage of winning in the playoffs than
blah,
we do?
Blah, blah, blah. Talk to me on Sunday. Talk to me on the field. Talk to me when football is being played. I don't give a crap about no damn chances and percentages and what's going to happen in the playoffs. It's a week-to-week league.
Okay.
Got to win against the Eagles. So, thank you. What's going to happen?
I was a little down last week. I was a little wrong because I said 24.
I know the one
nothing.
Week you should have given your like 48-0 preview and
35-0.
35-0. Yes. The Eagles aren't going to score a point.
No.
Okay. All right.
It'll be closer than whatever you got, Nagler.
I got 38-21.
Yeah.
Packers.
I guarantee. Okay. I will bet you $100 my score is closer than yours.
You seen this? You seen that? Wait. What did I just say? 31-20. What, 38-21 versus what was yours?
35-0.
Nothing.
Right. Yeah.
There we go.
I get the under. If you're over, you're out. It's like Price is Right, bro.
I'm $100 richer.
It's like Price is Right, bro.
Whatever, dude. You'll have to explain that to me. All right. And I'm sure however you explain it to me, we'll end up with you getting $100.
Yes.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We want to thank Jeff McClain from the Philadelphia Inquirer for being kind enough to come on this here ridiculous program. And of course, as always, we want to thank you guys out there, Packers fans worldwide. By the way, we got a great tweet earlier this week. Some dude is out there who has watched this show in three different continents this season. Like, he's gone on this trips all over the world, and he's not missed this show. That's amazing to me. So thank you all. Packers fans, you people are truly one in a million. We love you all. You're the reason why we do this. Packers are going to win on Sunday. Go Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for that, Jason. Okay. Appreciate that. What do you think you told the critics tonight?